Hallelujah. The bridge is that says day and night, let our incense arise. We don't light incense in the form of praise anymore. Our incense is our worship. Our incense is our adoration that we publicly do in this building by raising of hands and lifting of voices. For just a minute, can we let our incense arise to the nostrils and the ears of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Hallelujah, Lord, we praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. God, I pray.
Arise, day and night, night and day, let incense arise. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve.
Hallelujah. Can we just one more time lift his name on high? God, I give you honor right now. God, I give you all of the glory that I'm capable of giving. God, Lord, I thank you, God. I praise your name. Lord, you're worthy to be praised, God. Hallelujah. God, I pray. I'm thankful that I'm able to come and lift my voice on high and give God glory. I'm thankful that I'm come and able to elevate my voice and give him praise and thank him for all the things that he's done for me. When I say he's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I am not making an understatement. He's blessed me, he's saved me, he's kept me, he's allowed me to persevere through situation, trials, and tribulation. He's lifted me up, he's elevated me beyond means and measures. He's blessed me, he's kept me. I am thankful for what he's done in my life. I'm thankful. If you were here on Wednesday night, if you weren't here on Wednesday night, you need to go back and listen to Wednesday night service, because our youth did Wednesday night, and Brother Casey taught, and Brother Elijah Nord taught, and I'm telling you, he taught on grace. And one of the reasons why our world struggles with giving grace is because they don't understand what grace is. They've never experienced grace the way that you and I experience. Because if you feel like you're deserving to be sitting on this pew today, I'm gonna go ahead and pop your bubble. You're not. But it was by God's grace. Some of you don't deserve to be alive. Some of you don't deserve to have a loving spouse and family that's with you. If we really got what we deserved, I wouldn't be here today. But it's for God's grace and his mercy that it allowed me to be here. By his grace, I'm thankful for his grace right now. Hallelujah. But before you're seated, turn to your neighbor. Tell them how great they look today, how fantastic they look. Charlotte, you look awesome today. Derek, you look good, my man. I appreciate you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. As you're seated, so good to see Sister Filer here. We love you, Sister Filer. We appreciate you. We also want to say it's very great to have Katie Filer here. So she, this is Ross's wife. She's got. She's here from Minnesota, and you got all six of your kids. Is that right? So this young lady is a true champion. Her husband is not here, and she's traveling with six kids. You know that is another level of champion that just surpasses whatever it can possibly be. I met your two older sons. They are incredible gentlemen. I will give them all the props in the world. They walked up and they shook every single person's hand upstairs in the youth room. I was very impressed in the short interaction that I had with your sons, and I want you to know that and pass that along to your husband. It is very difficult. 13 and 14-year-old boys aren't usually the most charming, nicest people in the world, but they were. We are glad that you are here at church today. We are glad to see you and be able to worship together. Last week, I want to thank Brother Eric Nord for stepping in and filling out for me. I woke up Saturday morning, and I was really sick. I did not feel good. I'm like, Eric, please teach, please. And he did, and then I came to church on Sunday for about 20 minutes, and I was like, I'm going home. Like, I just did not feel good. So it is good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to be starting a new lesson series. We're going to be talking about prayer. If we open our Bibles to Matthew 6, verse 5 through 18. I also want to take a second, and I'm going to step back just a little bit more. Elijah Nord taught his very first lesson on Wednesday night and did an absolutely phenomenal job. Not just Casey, but Elijah did great. I am so proud of what our youth is doing in this church. I'm so proud of all the way that they're allowing the Lord to use them and to bless them. Pastor referenced it for those that were here. It was like watching Josh teach because of his mannerisms. It just comes to him naturally. I can't imagine that you would act like your father when you're teaching. That would just be the worst thing in the world. So, but very, very proud of him, and it is a very daunting thing. I think I was 22 years old the very first time I ever gave a sermon, so he's got me beat by 5 years easily. So I'm very, very proud of the things that he's doing and what God's going to do in his life. But Matthew 6, verse 5 says, and this is all red letter. This is straight from Jesus' lips. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for like your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will you, your Father, forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Teach just for a few minutes about prayer. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing, all the things that you do in our lives, God, the strength and the comfort that you give us in our times of need. God, I thank you for what you're going to do, and I worship your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is my wife and I's 17th anniversary. 17 years, 17 years, and I made one of the best decisions that I could probably ever have made standing here about this location right here, and that was the words, I do. And in those 17 years of marriage, we've experienced a lot of highs, we've experienced a lot of lows, we've experienced a lot of firsts, a lot of different things that have happened. And one of those is hearing my child's first words. Dada. I asked my wife last night, just because I wanted to make sure that I got it right, Pastor, what were our kids' first words? Because, you know, as parents, we remember things differently sometimes. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm pretty sure that the girls' first words were, Dada. And Rye's was Mom or Mama, which the way things work out. But it was Dada, the very first words that Ella ever said was Dada. And if you dads can think about this, Ryan, think about that hard exterior shell that we have as men, because we're men, we're manly men. But when you hear Dada for the first time, me, I'm dad. Did you hear that? They say Dada, say Dada. They like, and it becomes so exciting for us to hear them say Dada. And that first time that you hear it, you never get tired of hearing the words Dada. You walk into the house, Dada, 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 and then you're so excited. There they are, and pick them up, and you love them. Or Mama, 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 and you just, oh, it melts inside, and it's so exciting until it's not. And then it's all the time that you have a different level. It doesn't happen to Isaac as much as it happens to Liz, where Mom, Mom, Ma, Ma, Mom, 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 Mother, 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 Mom, 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 what? Look what I can do. Okay, great job, awesome, great. I was repainting the house, you know, I couldn't have waited. You know, it's the power of hearing our name. Now, you all know that there's a difference when the kids say your name. Same way that not every tear means that we go running to them. Oh, no, that's a fake cry. Liz was out on the patio yesterday, and the kids, we've got my niece and nephew staying at our house, and they were just, everybody was butting heads yesterday, and they were kind of crying, and she said, what's everybody crying about? I said, I don't know, I haven't checked, it wasn't real tears. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you can hear the, and then you hear, and I woke some of you up. I checked, some of you might have had your heart jump started. But it has a little bit of a different interaction, a different moment of what things are going on. It's important when dad, and they're saying something that says, Dad, I need you. Dad, your kids will go and they'll call you a lot of different things in life. You'll have a lot of different names. Will be their provider, their protector, their tutor, their homework helper, the stage of life that my wife is in right this second, chauffeur, ATM, mortgage payer, clothes buyer, handyman, phone fixer, vacation planner, tough to open pickle jar guy. All of these things are describe what we do as parents. But when they say, Dad, that describes who we are to them. When they say the word Dad, that means something a little bit different. If you went in and began to search through the scriptures from now until New Year's, you'd find title after title that we could call God. We could call him provider. We could call him protector. We could call him healer, helper, our ever-present strength. He's our redeemer. He's our savior. He's our refuge. He's our teacher. But Jesus said to, in one title that he wants to hear when we pray, Father. Makes sense to some, but doesn't make sense to others. Jesus knew that. He knew that his words would reach the eyes and the ears of people in their day who did not have a strong relationship with their father. Maybe you don't have a relationship with your dad and you don't really understand the opening words of Jesus' prayer, or lesson on prayer. Jesus is telling you that he will be the father that you never had. He'll do right where your earthly father did wrong. When you pray, you open up the ears of Jesus with those sweet words, Father. You may think it's scandalous. I don't know. It sounds kind of odd praying Father. Imagine how it sounded to the first century church. It must have been really foreign to them. See, if you go through the Old Testament, people viewed God a little bit differently in the Old Testament. People viewed him as that police officer that follows behind you just waiting for you not to turn the turn signal on or go a mile over the speed limit. He was there to put him back in line, correct him. They were fearful of him. He was vengeful. He was wrathful. They viewed him in a different light than what we view of him as the grace and mercy and peace and comfort. They view in something in a different form than what we viewed him as. You go and realize that for over 400 years, God was almost completely silent to him. They didn't hear the voice of God. They didn't speak with God. God didn't show up in signs and wonders. He didn't pronounce himself to them audibly as he had done throughout all of the earlier Old Testament. In those 400 years, Rome had taken over the world and they had taxed Israel when and how much they ever wanted to do. Israeli people lived under a rule of Roman government. Strict laws, no control. It was an iron fist. Then here we are, Jesus is taking a seat on the side of a mountain. And he's telling them, God still listens to your prayers. God still hears your prayers. He's still hearing it, and you can still talk to him. Because prayer is a conversation between you and the Father. A lot of times we don't realize prayer is just a conversation. How many people have ever had that just hard conversation with God? Things are not, Sister Filer shaking her head, thank you for at least being awake, Sister Filer. Some other people are struggling, but that hard conversation where things are not going your way. And you're frustrated, and you're angry, and you're tired, and your back is against the wall. And I'll tell you this, because I'm the one preaching, and I'm using myself as an example. I've had it in the parking lot of Meijer before. Just a conversation between me and God. God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't know what it is. God, you've got to help me. God, I'm in this situation. And I'm talking to God like he's sitting right next to me. I'm just having a conversation with the Lord. How many people have ever had a conversation with the Lord? It's a dialogue. You know what? There's a lot of times that I've had conversations with God and I've never heard the voice of God. I just bleh. after I was done, I was like, well, that's kind of embarrassing. That really took a, didn't realize I had all that much pent up inside of me. I didn't think that was going to go that way. And then I almost began to apologize to God, and says, Sister Filer, I'm sorry that I just put all that on you, like his shoulders aren't broad enough to take it. I'm sorry that I'm frustrated with you. I've learned one of the best benefits I've ever had in my life is being the father to girls. Early on in life, in marriage, husbands, we want to fix things. We want to put stuff together, right, Brother Yenna? We want to make it right. One of the things that I learned early in my marriage is that sometimes when Liz would bring me things and I would try and help fix whatever the problem is, only to realize that's not what she wanted me to do. She wanted me to listen. There's not, maybe it's not a problem that I can fix. She just needed something to unburden herself to. One of the greatest things in the world is learning that I've got girls, and that my girls, sometimes, Brother Cook, you've got girls, sometimes you can just be driving on the road and they just start talking to you. They haven't talked to you in weeks. But that moment, they just start talking to you. And my dad instinct wants to jump in and help them with their problem. But I sit there and I'm quiet. And I just listen as they begin to work through all of the things that's going on and all the things that are happening at school. And in my mind, I'm going, ah! I'm texting my wife, sweet Jesus, help me. This is what we're talking about right now. Not saying anything, just listening. Because I know that if I listen to her and I can create a trust relationship, when other things happen, she'll continue to come to me. God does that same thing with us. That when we have problems and we have trials and situations, we have to take them to the Lord. God knows exactly what you're dealing with. He's omnipresent and he's omnipotent. He understands what you're going through, but God can only take whatever problems we lay at his feet. God can only take whatever heartaches and brokenness we deal with if we're willing to come before him and lay them down at his feet. It's got to be with communication. Sometimes we get worried about how we talk to the Lord. One of the greatest things that my parents ever teach me is to talk to the Lord. If you ever ride with Pastor Johnson, he'll just be like, thank you, Jesus. God, you are good. I have no idea what's going on up here. I just know that in his moment, he's thanking the Lord. He's praying through whatever situation it is. He's giving him glory because God's worthy of all the glory that we could possibly give him. That not all prayer has to be done from 6 to 6:15 in the morning in the prayer closet all by yourself. Not all prayer has to be done from 12:30 to 12:45 on a Sunday morning with everybody around you. Prayer is an all-day thing. It's a continuous, constant conversation of elevating and lifting up the one who sits on the throne and giving him glory. If you can praise him in the little things, then God will definitely be able to be with you in the big things and the big situations. A lot of times we struggle with not wanting to burden God with our problems. That's what he's there for. That's why he took the crown of thorns and the stripes upon his back, so he could carry our burden and so he could carry our brokenness, so we could lay those things down at his feet. See, we have to understand that our prayers don't just hit the chandelier and come back to us. It's not just a... See, God hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. We know this to be true. We've seen examples throughout all of the Bible. If you go and look in the chapter of Gospel of Mark, and you see about the leper who had lost his health and all of his humanity, and he comes to Jesus. Maybe he was sick for a few months, or maybe it was years, but this man had been living as a leper in a leper colony, and he was disgraced and outcast from all society, and that he would not be able to be around normal people because of leprosy being so contagious. And at that time, they thought that leprosy coincided with sin, and that he had sin in his life, and that's why he was covered in leprosy. But one day special, this leper hears that Jesus is walking through town, not far from where he was living, and he ran out of the shadows into the sunlight, and everyone shrieks and begins to push themselves away. Mothers stand in front of their children. Rabbis begin to shoo him away, lest them or anyone else be made unclean. This scene was the same thing every single time a leper came around. But this time it was just a little bit different because Jesus was there. It's tragic that we don't know what the leper's name is. He's just left with the name leper. His disease had become his complete identity. He comes before Jesus and he kneels down and says, "If thou wilt, canest thou maketh me clean." The New King James Version says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." He had enough faith. "God, Jesus, if you can do this, you can make me clean. I believe you can make me clean. You just have to be willing to do it." Jesus goes and moves forward towards the man with compassion. He does something that he should have never done by those standards. He reaches out and touches him, making himself unclean. But he reaches out and touches him, heals him. He doesn't just heal him physically, he restores his humanity. He restores his social withstanding. Goes and says, "Go to the synagogue, show yourself before the rabbis, allow yourself to be clean." Allows him not just to be healed and no longer deal with that bodily affliction, he can go back to his home, to his wife, to his kids, to his parents. He can go get a job again. He's completely restored. When God does a work in you, he restores your whole humanity. It's not just one part of your life that he affects. If you're an addict and you're broken, God can come in and heal your body of the addiction. He can take away those hunger pains away, and he can also begin to restore the brokenness that's within your family, the brokenness that is ravaged because of addiction, because of things that have been broken, or things that have been restored. He can give you a right mind where drugs broke it. He can give you a right focus where drugs destroyed it. He can make you a valuable employee, a valuable husband, and a great friend and saint of God. He wants to restore you completely. Jesus restored it all with just one answer to one prayer. When you pray, pray with great expectations. A lot of times, we just go through the work. "Lord, bless them. Lord, touch them. Thank you." I grew up in church. Praying is just kind of what we do. You know, you pray for dinner, you pray for the... You forget the fact that when you pray, you're praying to the one who spoke the earth into existence. Sometimes you forget when you pray, you're praying to the Creator, the one that allowed us to have breath in our lungs, the one that blew into Adam's lungs, the one that took a rib out and from dirt made Eve, the one that the one that created the sun and the stars is the same one that we pray to. God, bless my food. God, heal my kid. When you pray, pray with expectation for blind eyes to be opened and sickness to be removed. God, I don't know how I'm gonna get this bill paid for, but God, there's a check in the mail. God, I don't know how this is gonna happen, but there's a promotion in the future. It's sometimes we've become so timid in our prayers that we're getting timid responses. But, because we're just kind of half-hearted in it, because our expectation levels don't match the one that supersedes all expectations. When you pray, pray with an expectation to God to show up and show out. See, God is good enough to hear, and he's great enough to answer. So when we go and pray to him, and he answers exactly how we pray, glory to God. But when he answers differently than how we pray, glory to God. He knows what we don't and sees what we can't see. A lot of times we struggle with this because we pray and things didn't go the way that we think they should go. How many people have ever prayed for something and it didn't happen? And then what happened was better. I'll just say, I've prayed for, Lord, give me this job opportunity. And that job opportunity didn't happen. And you know what? I've got a better job opportunity. Oh, God, bless me in this situation. God, bless me in this moment. Blessing doesn't come at that point. Comes later on in life in a bigger, greater reward. The question Abraham asked in Genesis 18:25 rings as true for us now as for him back then. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We know God will do what is right because he is good and he is great. We know that God will step up and provide for us when we need him the most. That God will show us what we need to have when we need to get it. See, praying is one of the most valuable, important things that you could possibly ever do in your life. You have to understand that God knows what's best for us. I think that's a struggle that we have because things, when we pray, we think they should go the way that we think they should go. There are people that are not in church today because something happened and they're angry at God because they didn't think that's what it should go. So therefore, their point is that that's the reason why. It's not the way it should be. That's our human nature. How many people have ever went and taken their kids to the grocery store and your kids have acted good the entire time until you get to the checkout aisle? What's at the checkout aisle, Brother Jamie? Candy. How much candy do your kids want at the checkout aisle? All of it. I will. Give me this candy. Give me that candy. Sometimes as parents, we're like, we'll buy them a little candy. You know, Liz likes to refer to me as the no dad. I say no to about everything all the time. No, I'm not doing it. Liz has become the pushover. She gets them kind of whatever they want. I thought I said no. Yeah, mom did it. Mom got it. She's overcompensating for me. But there's a lot of times that we go into a line. No, I'm not getting you that candy because we just ate dinner or we're going to eat dinner or it's 9:15 at night. And it's time to go to bed, and the last thing you need is Laffy Taffy in your mouth running that sugar count up, and then I can't get you back to bed. Maybe if you were staying at your grandparents' house tonight, we could do that. Or grandparents, you've learned how to stop saying no, and now you just say yes all the time because, hey, we're going to give them back to mom and dad. I've never met a man that says yes as much as my father says yes to my grandkids. But we know that there's certain reasons we don't let our kids do something because we know what's in best interest for them. Don't stand on the roof and jump off the roof. I don't care if you think you can fly. I know that you can't fly. I don't care that you've got a cape. A lot of times, that's us with God. God's saying, don't do that. I'm going to remove this person out of your life because I need you to move forward. I'm going to take this thing out because I'm trying to protect you for it. See, God is wise. Sometimes he puts hedges and barriers around us to protect us. He keeps us safe in the best way that he possibly can. We may not realize it when we're praying, God, give me this strength. God, give me this. God's in the background, chess master, moving stuff around. Oh, God, I didn't ask for you to move that out of my life. I know, but this is what's got to be removed to make you a better person. I know I need to remove this out of your life because you're going to be moving here in this place. Or I'm going to put this boundary or I'm going to put this trial right in front of you because I know that when you come through it, you're going to be a pure gold and you're going to be more of a reflection of me. Maybe you've went, you began to pray. God didn't exactly answer the way that you wanted him to. James wrote in James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask ye not. We don't need to know what and how God will answer. We just need to know that he will answer. We don't need to know how he's going to work things out. We just need to know that God will always work things out for the good. That God will continually show up when we need him to. God will still perform miracles. The God of old is still the God of new today. The God that parted the water and rained down manna. The God that parted the water again and felled fortified walls. The God that held the sun still and rained down fire. The God that directed a stone to allow a giant to fall. Though that same God is still the same God that we serve today. So when we pray, pray with intention, pray with purpose, pray with focus, pray like you're David getting ready to step into a fight with Goliath, and all you've got in your hand is a sling and five smooth stones. You know that your adversary is greater and more capable at battle than what you are, but you've got God on your side. You've got God behind you. You've got God directing you, and you've got God leading you. It's with expectation we pray. When we pray, we need to be able to submit our own will and submit our own plans and our own needs and priorities to God. Say, God, whatever your will is, I'm going to trust you. God, whatever your purpose is, I'm going to trust you. I've got things in my mind that I want them to happen, but you know what, God? If it's not intended for me, then it's not intended for me. Man, that's really hard. That's really difficult sometimes. I like to have things planned out. I like to have things with a purpose. Not knowing what God's going to do, that's really difficult sometimes. God, this don't make sense. My back's against the wall. God, this don't have no purpose. What are we going to do? Acknowledge and focus on the point. What are your motives when you're praying? God, let me win the lottery. I know I'm not supposed to play the lottery, God, but I would love to have a ticket just blow down the street and blow right into my pocket. Oh, the blessings that I could have, Sister Kathy, to this church if we could just win that billion-dollar lottery. How many people have ever had that? Look, when it was hitting like $1.6 billion, everyone at work is throwing in, and it was conversation. Oh, I'd buy an island. I'd do this. I'd do that. You know how many people said, Isaac, if you pray for us, we'll give our tithes to your church. I was just praying everywhere. Just Lord bless them. What's your purpose in your prayer? There are some people that can pray. God bless them. Take this cancer away. Not so God gets the glory, but I prayed for them and cancer left the body. Do you want me to pray for you? I mean, I've got a 2-for-1 special. It's my prayer. First of all, how silly is that? That people feel like they're the ones that's special. Not special at all. God's the one who's special. What's your purpose in praying things like that? Sometimes we're guilty, and I'm kind of bouncing all over a little bit. I understand that. Sometimes we're guilty a little bit about feeling odd in what we pray. I remember Pastor being a young person, and he had a blue Subaru car that was a 1989, looks like it would still be driving on the roads down Ukraine today. It was just a junky car, but he drove it all the time. You know how many times he prayed for that car to start? Pastor, am I lying? Didn't have money to put a battery in it. Didn't have money to do this, that, and yonder. God, let the car start. You know how many times I've prayed? God, let the car start. Because we had sister, we didn't have the money to fix my car. I need to get point A to point B. Seems like a silly, bizarre prayer. But I saw my dad pray it, and I saw the car start. I've prayed that prayer. My car started. God, just allow this to get a little bit further. Not all prayer has to be, God, take this cancer away. God, bless this. Sometimes, if we're human, God, please let my coworker be in a good mood today. Maybe it's a, God, please let me handle my coworker with a better attitude today than I did yesterday. Not all prayer has to be big and grand and huge monumental moments. Sometimes it's just small blessings. God, thank you for keeping me safe. One of the end part of the verses, I'm closing, talks about forgiving your debtors. Comes with grace, what Casey was talking about earlier. We have a real forgiveness problem in America. We have a real forgiveness problem in our hearts. That we want to edify God. We want to love God. We want to bless God. We want to thank him for all of his grace and mercy. We want to give him all the glory that we possibly can, but we don't want to show that grace back to anybody else. We don't want to forgive somebody for that's wronged us for some situation way back when. Scripture goes and says if you're not willing to forgive, he's not going to forgive you. If you're not willing to let things go, he's not going to let things go. You have to be willing to let go, and if you can have a freedom in your heart, there's a freedom that comes in your worship. There's a freedom that comes in your praise. If I was to sit down and go one by one throughout all of you, you probably know somebody who's holding a grudge for far too long and is holding bitterness for some situation that's not worthwhile holding bitterness on. But as the days and the weeks and the months and the years surpassed, the bitterness has grown and grown and grown, and it's infected every aspect of their life unintentionally. And they're not as nice as what they once were. They're not as full of love as they once were. They're not as full of grace and mercy as they should be. When we come to the Lord and we ask God for forgiveness, He's willing us giving that forgiveness back, but it's something for us to go and pass that forgiveness on to somebody. There's been a couple of lessons here the last few weeks that forgiveness has followed up, or and I've preached about it and I've taught about it. I think there's people that are holding on to some bitterness, holding on to some anger and some frustration that you don't need to hold on to. That's not the way that God designed you to be angry at somebody else for something that happened so long ago. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to overcome those things. God wants you to show that same grace and mercy that He showed you to somebody else. And if you can show that grace and mercy to somebody else, it gives you freedom in your worship. It gives you freedom in your praise. You're letting go. You're unburdening yourself. You're allowing yourself surrender and release. Man, there's something about being free to worship Him. When you're free to worship Him, the words come easier. When you're free to worship Him, the gratitude is more easily accessible. When you're free to worship Him, the cares and worries of this world don't seem so big and so daunting. For many of us, we weren't lucky enough to grow up in church. Think about what your life looked like before you experienced grace and mercy. Think of the burden. I like to tell anybody that the first time they speak in tongues, the first time that they have an interaction with the Holy Ghost and the supernatural, you will never sleep better than what you do that night. Because all of that brokenness, all of that bitterness, all that angst that you carried around with you is taken away. And you'll experience peace that passes all understanding. For all the praise that we can give Him, He's worthy of everything that we can, every word that we can raise, every syllable that we can string together and form out. He's worthy of every single thing. Why? Because He's been so good to me. I want to praise Him in all times, in all situations, in all moments, in all thankfulness. Let's bow our heads. In Jesus' name, God, I pray, Lord, that You continue to be a blessing to us. God, I pray that You continue to move through us and strengthen us. God, Lord, I thank You for what You're doing right now, God. Lord, but I pray that You build inside of us a relationship, God. Lord, that we can come before You, whether we're full of joy or worn down and weighted with grief. God, that You be able to pour out upon us blessing after blessing, God. Lord, that we learn to have a deeper relationship with You, God. That we can talk to You when things are going right and when things are going wrong, God. Lord, and I pray that if we're holding on to bitterness right now, if we're holding on to anger, God, Lord, that You give us the strength and the ability to release that right now. God, I pray right now that there be a lifting of brokenness and bitterness in this place. God, I pray, Lord, that there be a strength of comfort right now in this place, God. Lord, that I can walk out and love someone that I never thought I would be able to love again. God, that you've forgiven me for all the things that I've done wrong, God, but allow me to forgive those who've wronged me. Allow me to forgive those who've spoke bad about me or hurt me or damaged my mind. God, that's not what you intend me to be or what you desire me to do, God. Lord, so please restore me. I pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a few minutes.